Saint Domingo was our name, the founders of the greatest game. When we had our pitch on Stanley Park in season 1891, the Toffees' history had begun. We beat them all and the Football League was won.
Welcome to our latest episode of the Fuck Off Everton podcast. Me, Nathan and Bill, back after quite a long gap. We're sort of at the early weeks of the dawn of a second David Moyes era. And this week we're going to rank the eight permanent managers we've had in between the two David Moyes spells. So the filling of the David Moyes sandwich. So that's eight permanent managers, discounting Ferguson's, two spells as caretaker and Unsworth's caretaker spell. I don't know about you, but I actually found it really, really hard to rank them, because when you look at them and what happened in their time at Everton individually, there's not one you can just say he was a good Everton manager. There's always a but. Whether they're good or bad, it's not really that clear cut, and I've sort of surprised myself with some of my choices, which I've changed several times since I started trying to do it. Like yesterday afternoon, and I swapped a couple around like about an hour ago. So it makes fucking grim reading, doesn't it? I mean, the fact that we've had eight managers in that time sort of tells a story in itself, doesn't it? Because none of them have settled, none of them have had a sustained spell with us for various reasons, and the fact that it's really hard to pick like the top ones is a clear indication of how grim things have been in recent years. But I think I'm happy with my eight choices. So we'll go through our choices. I'm going to we're going to rank them like sort of aggregate between us. So like whoever we choose as the last, the worst gets 1 point. And the best gets 8 points. So I'll sort of tally them up as we go and see who between us we think as well as individually. But I imagine one thing, if you polled every single Evertonian on the planet, probably the only one you'd get almost absolute 100% agreement with would be the worst. Why don't you kick us off with your worst manager?
Yeah, and I was just going to add to what you talked about regarding the list of managers we've had since the first Moyes stint. It just reflects the sort of bad recruitment with managers as well.
No discernible link, really. I mean, there's a couple of them who are vaguely of a similar ilk, but they're not even, you know, one after the other. You know, it's just all over the fucking place, isn't it?
And I think that sort of sums up the Moyes era in a way. The meddling, the sort of different influences of different directors of football, different sort of Russian owners on yachts and
agents.
Everyone seemed to stick their oar in, didn't they? And that shows you a sort of a lack of alignment.
Yeah,
as a club and a mess, really, an absolute mess, really. And we're sort of just coming out of it now, hopefully. But
hopefully,
but who knows? It might be a few years left. Yeah, we'll get on to that though. Yeah. First one, obviously, Benitez. I mean, it was a crazy decision. I mean, a lot of people tried to justify it at the time by saying, "Oh, well, their mantra is stay up and get into the new stadium," and they were aware after Carlo that we'd spent a lot of money on. You know, we can get into that. And we had to cut our cloth, and who would be the most fitting appointment? Benitez. But apparently it was totally a Moyes decision.
Yeah.
Brands had a different idea. I forget who he fancied at the time. And then he turned up on a yacht. This is the story, isn't it? He turned up on a yacht, and who was there? Rafa.
Yeah, I think he was literally turning up with his shortlist. You know, these are my sort of three that I've narrowed it down to. And he's
crazy
fucking sitting there on the yacht. If that's true, I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it?
It's just never going to work because might know the city in question marks.
Yeah.
He's going to have no credit in the bank, isn't he? Because he's basically a so-called legendary Liverpool manager. And also, his last few stints, he's clearly on the wane as a manager as well. Yeah. You know, it was a mad appointment.
He's such a divisive figure, you know, at the time when, you know, coming out, like, you know, the COVID era and Ancelotti leaving, you wanted like some stability and to, you know, someone who could sort of bring the fan base together, and you got the worst possible person you could have chosen. I mean, if you'd tried to think of someone worse, you probably would have struggled. And he was surely the only person, Mashiri, who thought it was a good idea. Well, and Benitez, obviously. But it was doomed to failure. And he was given a chance, you know, as much as people say, you know, all the ridiculous things about leaving the fucking banner outside the wrong house saying we know where you live and all that. He was given a chance, I think. He got a decent reception in his first game. You know, people sort of accepted that it was what it was. And it was just appalling. You know, the football was terrible, the run of poor results and everything. But also the fact that Mashiri just seemed to, like, hand over complete control of the club to him. You know, the supposed top-down audit that was going on was basically done by him. So he was effectively like a de facto technical director as well as the manager, you know, and alienating players, you know, pinning off, you know, Luca Dean and players like that. I know he's not like exactly world-class, but, you know.
He's still doing a job now in Villa.
We've done with him over the last few years, couldn't we, you know, but just like a personal dislike. And that's what he's known for, you know, is kind of having to assert himself by showing who's the Billy Big Bollocks, you know, and he picks on some big name player to establish that. And he did it with Rodriguez as well. I know he probably had to go anyway because of his wages and everything, but it was just an indication of his, you know, his ego and how he runs things. It was just the worst possible appointment on every level. And I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did.
Yeah, it was mad because you knew as soon as a bad run came, and people even said it, they said, oh, the derby, was it October time?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
They said that by that derby, the Liverpool fans will be singing Rafa Benitez's name, you know. It was just doomed to failure, and it was a mad appointment, really.
Yeah.
Even if you've got, like, little money and you want somebody experienced, he was clearly the wrong.
Yeah,
candidates.
There are other managers you could have chosen to do, like, you know, a pragmatic, solid job that wouldn't instantly bring that sort of toxicity and wouldn't disrupt the club and the players as well. Because for that, he's done that pretty much everywhere, you know. And it's the last thing we needed as a fan base, just utter madness. And I don't think anyone's going to disagree with us on him being worst. Obviously, he's my choice as well, so he gets one point from each of us as our collective worst. So who's next from bottom in your table?
It's a tricky one in a way, because there's a couple of managers there who had sort of reasonable starts and then sort of fell away. I am struggling a little bit because...
Do I give you mine? Because I've got...
I almost want to say Big Sam, but then he got to eighth. It was almost like, because he took over after that West Ham game, didn't he? Where we won, was it 3-1?
4-1.
4-1 and the Rooney chip, and Unsworth was the manager then. And that was a big win. And I felt like almost like over-corrected by getting him in.
Mm.
But then he did a good job to get to eighth, but the style of football was horrendous. And then he started to gaslight all the players. I remember one particular game, I think it was Arsenal, where we got our traditional thrashing down there. And he just threw all the players under the bus. It's a tricky one, though, because technically he finished eighth. So technically that was a good finish. So my other candidate kind of, it's a hard one.
Are you going with Allardyce then?
I am, just because I just think it was unnecessary. I almost feel like it was too safe of an appointment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, but then it was chaos when Unsworth was there, so I kind of get it in a way. But by the time that West Ham game had happened, it felt like we weren't safe, but we were on our way.
Well, we were 13th when he officially became manager. But, you know, you make a strong argument anyway for, like, other things around him, you know, his personality and stuff. But my second to bottom one is Koeman, who was
that was the other one I was juggling with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say first season wasn't bad. It was sort of like an on par finish of seventh. But I mean, even before, like, you get into the chaos that he wrote after that, it was just his personality. It was so unlikable. He was a horrible fucking bully. You know, he was just a typical workplace bully. You know, there's all stories about him just being a prick to, like, people in the canteen and stuff like that. You know, just horrible, mardy old fucking get, you know. And the way he treated Umar Nias, you know, as bad as he may be as a footballer, you know, to make a point of humiliating him, like taking his locker away from him and stuff like that. You know, that's just workplace bullying. In any other sector, you know, Umar Nias could have sued for, like, constructive dismissal. You know, it's just an appalling way to treat people. And although Ross Barkley was, like, massively overrated and everything and turned out to be a little rat, he just publicly made a point of slagging him off all the time as well, which obviously was a big factor in him sort of starting to want to leave and stuff like that as well. It's just his whole aura was just fucking horrible. I never took to him at all.
I might as well chime in, because it's my next choice. So I was flipping between those two, really. Yeah, I agree. And the way he marginalised Barkley, and he constantly played him on the right, if I remember rightly, and he sort of talked about him not working hard enough, and he marginalised him to the point where I think that was when Barkley decided he wanted to leave, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
So really, you know, one of our own. And like you said, just a really unlikable, arrogant man, really. And even down to things like posting a picture with red baubles on his Christmas tree. I know it's a small thing, but it just shows you he hadn't bought in, you know. Apparently as well, when they appointed him, they weren't sure even as well. Even though he'd had a good time at Southampton, you know, there were reports of his attitude, and that kind of came through. I think it was the second season was particularly
That's when it all fell
chaotic.
Apart,
and I think, like, I suppose the only mitigating you could give him is that Steve Walsh and, again, Mashiri, there was obviously a lot of, you know, meddling there. But when you actually look back at the squad he had, that second season, it was an absolute car crash, wasn't it?
That's when it started to really fall apart for us.
Yeah, and we had all those number 10s. And
yeah.
It was
most
just
of whom were shit, you know, Davy Klassen and Vlasic, and then Rooney and Sigurdsson all sort of shoehorned into the same. You know, Sigurdsson, Klassen, Rooney and Vlasic were all Koeman signings.
And also, the two after effects of that were Tom Davis, who had come in the team and done really well as more of an attacking breath of fresh air, really. You know, remember the Man City game and everything, 4-0. He got marginalised in that second season because obviously they brought in Sigurdsson, Vlasic, you know, that many number 10s, Rooney, like you say. There was no space for players like that. And also Luckman, it used to frustrate me great. I mean, look at what Luckman's doing now even, you know.
Mm.
He's having a great career, really. I mean, I know it's Italy, but he was a very young player then. And I feel like, I'm not saying he should have been starting, but he definitely should have got more minutes. He was on the bench so much. I mean, there were questions about his attitude.
Yeah, so. I think that's I'll sort of let Koeman off the hook a little bit on that.
Yeah, a little bit. What I'm trying to say is the youth kind of got pushed to the side in a way in that era because of the amount of money we were spending, when in some respects we weren't actually utilising some of the talent we actually had. Anyway, that was just my point, really. But it was a hodgepodge of a squad in the end, wasn't it? And then the Europa League campaign was a bit of a...
Awful.
It was crazy, wasn't it? And I remember going to see one of the games Unsworth was in charge of, and it was just absolutely terrible. Was it against at Atlanta or somebody at home when we just got smashed?
Was it Lyon?
Yeah, could have been.
Where Ashley Williams nearly started a riot by...
That's right.
Shoving their keeper or wherever it was, I can't remember now, but... Yeah,
I think they did play at Atlanta in that.
I think they may have been, but they certainly weren't the team they are now. But they still would have spanked us because we were just awful in every one of those games. So that's
I mean, And also, I suppose our expectations were higher then, because Mashiri had come in and he took big. And there was this idea that we were still like a European team. And we were, where were we when he left? We were like near the bottom three or in the bottom three, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a bit of a car crash the second season. So, yeah, he's my next one as well. And I was...
Same as your third from bottom.
I was flipping between the two of them.
Yeah, so you got Rafa, Allardyce, and then Koeman.
So
that's another 6 points for Koeman. My third from bottom is Lampard.
Yeah.
Which I initially wouldn't have thought I'd have him quite that low, but when I sort of...
Yeah, you're right.
Because he was just a shit manager. I know that there was all, like, oh, he gets the club and, you know, we got the fans on side, which, you know, was smart operating because he obviously realised how sort of toxified everything had become under Benitez, and he knew that his first thing was to get the fans on side, and he did that very well, and he came across very well at all times and, you know, spoke really well. But when it came down to it, where it was most needed, you know, we didn't stay up that first sort of half season because of him. It was, you know, in spite of him. It was down to the fans and Richarlison and Pickford, basically, that we stayed up. I mean, for weeks and weeks, he persisted with trying to play, you know, a high line and play nice possession football with a squad that was just not equipped to do it. You know, do you remember the Tottenham game where I think we lost like 5-1 or something? And straight away, it was clear that was going wrong. Like, they were just playing in behind us all the time. You know, we had like, you know, Michael Keane playing a high line. It was just asking for trouble, you know, and he just wouldn't change it. I think we were 3-0 down within like half an hour or something like that. And it took him weeks after that to finally accept that he just had to play, you know, a low block and just keep it simple, you know. And if he'd realised that weeks or acknowledged that weeks earlier, we wouldn't have had to go down to the second to last game of the season. But his first... Football wasn't even a full season because he didn't finish it. That was when his sort of shortcomings were really obvious, because he was able to basically got an entire new midfield with Idrissa Gueye coming back, Onana and James Garner. So he couldn't really have much excuse, but it was just appalling to watch. You know, for someone who was one of the best midfielders of his generation, just couldn't set up the midfield at all. And that the Southampton game, where, you know, there was all the stopping Gordon and Mina in their cars outside the ground and stuff like that. It was appalling. You know, he just had no clue tactically, you know, for all his sort of good sort of personality traits and everything. He was just a really shit football manager. And I think he gets away with a lot, you know, when sort of fans talk about him because of how well he came across. You know, if you sort of put that to one side, He is undoubtedly one of the worst managers we've had for a very long time, if not ever. He was just clueless.
I'd actually totally forgot. I would probably put him just above Benitez, but I'll leave it as my next choice anyway, because I think those four are probably the worst. But yeah, I agree. He just didn't have the coaching acumen, did he? And he didn't, like you said, there was no flexibility about him. It was just literally, I want to play this kind of progressive, in quote. But he couldn't actually pull it off.
No.
I felt like he just didn't have the coaching grounding. And similar to Gerrard in a way, that name and his kind of... And he's even better in the media than Gerrard, so...
Yeah.
And I did actually, I like him as a bloke. That's the thing. Or his personality, you know, is what his presents as.
Yeah.
I did actually, I think we felt like we craved that because of who we'd had before, you know, Benitez. So, we craved that connection, didn't we? But we were connecting with somebody who didn't really have the substance. I mean, he's even sort of, he's in the championship now, isn't he? I just think he maybe got, well, I definitely got fast-tracked too soon for somebody because of his name, you know?
As with Gerrard, yeah. You know, if they weren't who they were, they wouldn't have been getting the jobs.
And one mitigation I give from him, probably a lot of these managers, is we didn't even have especially that second season, we didn't even have a striker, did we?
No.
I mean, I suppose in a way you could blame him as well, because apparently Maupai was his kind of call. So, because he went for the, like, because we were looking at that Guirassy from Germany, who's turned out to be good, actually.
Yeah.
And we could have had him because he went on strike, but apparently Lampard pulled, and I think Ken Wright as well, they went for, like, experience, which you can kind of understand, but Maupai was the totally wrong fit, which we discussed a lot of times before. But, yeah, he couldn't set up a midfield. He couldn't set up a defence, could he, really?
No.
And he had... who was the assistant manager?
Well, he had a few. He had Joe Edwards, his the main assistant, who recently managed Millwall and got sacked from there. And he had Paul Clement, who you would have thought would have, you know, would have added a lot of balance with all his experience. But I don't know whether he wasn't really one of the main sort of voices in his ear. It was always him and Joe Edwards on the touchline. And, you know, they were similarly young and inexperienced, and, you know, neither have really sort of gone on to do a great deal since. I mean, I think Lampard's probably on his last chance saloon, really, with Coventry, isn't he? But yeah, he's got by on reputation and standing, and, you know,
I think a lot of it as well was who the two candidates were left, and a lot of us didn't want Pereira because we saw Pereira as Mashiri's man, even if it didn't really matter what Pereira was like. It was almost like, oh, we want the other guy because Pereira's Mashiri's man, you know?
Well, it's because he went on Sky Sports and was told like he already had the job. He was clearly a nutter and still clearly is a bit of a...
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's great either. I don't think he's a great... He's a journeyman coach anyway,
Yeah, so he's one of, I can't remember if he's one of Kia Jirupchin's clients or not, but that was certainly the impression that he was, you know, someone had been put sort of pushed on him. And, you know, why it came down to those two.
Exactly. Well,
fuck knows, you know, like there were no other managers available anywhere, but it came down to those two essentially. And we all, well, I think most of us wanted Lampard over him.
And to be honest, in my case, it was only because Lampard came across better.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a bad reason for hiring a football manager anyway. But I just think Lampard, he's like one of these names, isn't he? He's a big name in football, but not in coaching, you know. Like, it shows you that you don't necessarily have to be you know, it can work either way, can't it? You don't have to be in, I mean, look at Arsene Wenger. He wasn't a big player, or Klopp even, you know.
Well, most of the big managers aren't, really, you know. One of the exceptions that were great players and great managers, really. I'm just writing down your choices so far. So you've had Rafa, Sam, Koeman, and so Frank is your...
just because I can't go back on one.
Okay, well, my fourth from bottom, and most people will be surprised I've gotten this high, given that my sort of dislike of him is so intense that I've actually written several short stories, even a collection of short stories about Sam Allardyce. But he's above Frank Lampard. Purely because, as you alluded to, as awful as the football was, and as much as I think he hated us as much as we hated him, he did basically do the job he was hired to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he overstates his achievements at Everton because, I say, by the time he officially took over, we were 13th. You know, we weren't down at the bottom. That win over West Ham, he claims that is his, which is just nonsense. You know, he was watching in the stands. He was nothing to do with it. And, you know, his sort of mates in the media count it as one of his great escapes that he's had throughout his career. But I've only got him higher up than the likes of Lampard because he did basically do his job, you know, and it was a short-term fix. The only reason he got the 18-month contract was because of the state we were in. He was able to negotiate a better deal for himself, which is fair enough. You know, I think he knew from the start he would get sacked at the end of that season, but we'll get the payoff. So he had a good negotiating hand and made it work for him. And you can't argue with that. But he did do his job. But, you know, it's an awful, awful man. Like, and the fact that we were ever even in the situation where he was being considered as our manager just shows what a mess we were in. And the fact that Sammy fucking Lee was around the club as well.
I'm probably a bit harsh on him, maybe. Because he did actually do his job. But
I don't think you're harsh on him. You know, I don't like him at all.
It's a tricky one.
You know, I'm almost psychotically, you know, predispose, you know. The fact that I've written so many absurd stories about him is, you know, a sign I probably need to get some fucking counselling or something. But, you know, I'll sort of like begrudgingly accept that he did, to a degree, do the job he was hired to do, you know, as awful as he was and as unpopular as he was. And I don't think anyone was sad to see him go.
Yeah, as bad as the football was as well, it was effective in a way.
Yeah.
Because I remember we ground out some, you know, really good 1-0 wins at home that you just wouldn't have seen unless he was there, organised the team. He did organise the team. But when you look back at that squad, it was an absolute ragtag, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
That was a real...
Yeah, not a single left-footed outfield player in the squad.
And we had Cuca Mantina on the left-back, rightly.
Yeah, so he did have shit to work with as well. But the thing is, like, he got us safe very quickly. You know, I'd say we were almost safe already in 13th, but we were sort of mathematically safe pretty early on. But then the football continued to be turgid and awful to watch.
Yeah, and he was never going to stay on, even though.
Any chance he may have had of, like, getting that second season went then, you know, because he still played the same awful football. And, you know, maybe it's because he knew deep down he wasn't going to get to do the second season anyway, so he just wasn't asked, you know. He just wanted it on his CV as getting another team safe or whatever. But yeah, I think we're all glad to see him gone anyway, and I do take some satisfaction in the fact that he's now been relegated twice since then, so he can now no longer go on about how he's never been relegated as a coach, because he's been relegated with West Brom and Leeds now.
Yeah, I think he's done in a way. He's kind of like an old relic of a manager, isn't he? Yeah. I also think as well, as good as eighth was, I don't think that league was actually that good at that year, to be honest, either. I suppose the appointment, in a way, I just feel like maybe it was almost too cautious, but there you go. We were spiralling, as we have a few times.
So, okay, so where are we up to now? That's our bottom four. So we're into the top four now. So who's next? Who's your fourth from top?
It's a tricky one, splitting some of these, because some of them had like one good season and then the next season less good. I suppose I'd say Dyche, but I almost feel like he had a harder circumstance to come in than Carlo, in a way.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I suppose I'd go Dyche, but he definitely, the first 18 months, as we've discussed quite in detail, first 18 months he did a really good job, because when he came in, we were in the bottom three. And really, a lot of people were saying to me, they thought we were going down, so...
Yeah.
And then last season, obviously, the points deduction. And he did a decent job, you know. He worked with the tools he had. Obviously, there's a limit, you know, we'll go on to what subsequently happened, but it was obviously this season it kind of fell apart a little bit, but even on his own terms. But for the tools he had and the circumstances... he actually did a good job, even though I don't think he ever, you know, we're talking about Lampard sort of bought in and kind of like got people on side by being, you know, I don't know, a bit of a cheerleader. He never did that, but he did. He stabilised us at a time when it was chaos, basically. Yeah. So I give him credit for that, and I'm putting him top four, which might surprise you.
Yeah. But I think, like, there's a couple of them you sort of have to break their spell into, like, more than one phase. And with Dyche, you know, there's two clear different parts of his time in charge. You know, that first 18 months, you know, I think long-term history will, you know, recognise the job he did then, the first season and a half. But then on the other hand, you know, this season was, you know, an unmitigated disaster. You know, we were in a terrible state. But I think... yeah, you're absolutely right that he deserves credit for those, the first 18 months, because he did the job he was hired to do, and he did it with far less resources than most people who came below me, like in our table anyway, you know, who sort of would have bemoaned what they had to spend and all that. He had far more to contend with, less to spend, and 2 points deductions and absolute fucking bin fire of a club around him. So I think he will, in the long term, get the credit for those first 18 months, but then people will, you know, have to sort of view this season as a separate thing in itself, which obviously went very wrong.
It's a hard one because I was almost tempted to put him up above some of the ones that I'm going to say next, but it's a tricky one because, it's a hard one. It's like, how much credit do you give it when it's somebody's done the job, and then the second half of it, you know what I mean? If it goes wrong, because there's almost 3 examples of that, really. It's a hard one.
Yeah, I think probably a lot of people will put them sort of where you have. But in my sort of fifth from bottom / fourth from top, just above Allardyce, I've got Roberto Martinez.
Yeah, it's a tricky
one. Who, again, is one you sort of have to view in sort of 2 separate spells. Because that first season was great. You know, the football was fantastic. We scored loads of goals. But, like, even with that one really good season he had, you sort of have to mitigate that with the fact that we could still defend at that point because the players, you know, we inherited Moyes' defence, basically, and the players still had that sort of muscle memory remaining. And then over the next couple of seasons, he basically systematically dismantled any semblance of defensive organisation, which made us absolutely atrocious. We were still okay going forward for a large part of the rest of his time there, although that gradually died off as well. But I think a lot of the credit you get from the first season, you know, you do have to say part of that is down to the fact that his defenders still knew how to defend.
Yeah.
Which he, you know, taught them how not to defend.
Ironically, I think it was the, 2016 season? And we went, it was against Man United. And there was the Grim Reaper there for Moyes. And we did. We beat them roundly, really. So that first season, he got the best out of players like Naismith and Delafeu. But yeah, the midfield and the defence, or especially the defence, because we obviously the first summer that he was there was an excellent summer because we got in Lukaku on loan, didn't we?
Barry and
McCarthy, yeah. Was it Delafeu as well?
Yeah.
But again, like you said, it started to unravel second season. Didn't we finish with like 11th or something, or 12th? And he had when you look back at that squad, you're like, how did you finish that?
Yeah.
I mean, we were in Europe, weren't we? And you have to give him a lot of credit, the fact that that first season as well, we finished on a really high points total that would have put us in Champions League in a lot of seasons.
I think any other season up until that point, it would have been enough to be in the top four, yeah.
And it is some of the best football we've played under him, that first season.
Yeah,
but then, on
the
flip side, he was very delusional, wasn't he? He was like, like we've talked about the sort of stubbornness of some of the other managers, but he was literally like, I don't even want to defend set pieces. And I think a lot of it as well, I think he brought Luis Buamorte in as a assistant coach or something mad like that.
He did, yeah. When his I can't remember who was. I think it was Graeme Jones was his first assistant, and then he do something else, and he had Luis Buamorte.
I think that was part of the reason it fell apart, to be honest. But the second season, and was it 2 seasons we finished in the mid-table area, and then he got bin when Mashiri came in.
Yeah, within a few weeks he was gone, wasn't
it? It's hard to remember because we've had so many matches.
Yeah, the chair has been so constant.
It has. But yeah, he was my next one as well. And it's a tricky one because it's,
Okay, so you have Martinez above Dice. So that's your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So he was your next one above Dice. So we're into your top 3 now.
It's a tricky one because it's like you said, he the first season he overperformed probably And the second season, he, and the third season, he just stagnated. And he couldn't manage Martinez, sorry. Right. And he replaced, like, the defence, didn't he, with, like, Alcaraz and people like that. And I remember, I think it was it a European match? Was it? I forget the team we were playing. But we just got absolutely pummeled. It might have been Porto. But the defensively, like you said, it just fell off a cliff, didn't it?
And we, yeah.
The fact you look back at that team, we had Lukaku, we had Barkley, we had Delafeo, we had Barry in there. It was a class team, really. It should have been, you know, around European places. And yet we were stuck in this sort of 12th. It goes back to, as well, a bit with Koeman, it's this idea that we can't really seem to cope with European football as well.
Mm.
The only time we've ever coped with it was when under Moyes the first time.
Yeah, but even then we would sort of, the league form would drop off a little that season. But then
we've never had the squad. Season
after that, Martinez didn't have that excuse because we weren't in Europe and we were shit in the league because he, I mean, we talk about, you know, throwing away 2-goal leads this season twice on the bounce. It was just a regular thing for him. You know, you get 2-0 up, think, well, okay, now this is when we throw it away and lose 3-2. And, you know, I may be sort of embellishing a little bit, you know, in retrospect, but it felt like it was happening every week. You know, we'd go ahead by at least 1 goal, often 2, and then we'd end up losing 3-1 or 3-2 because he just couldn't defend a lead, couldn't defend set pieces.
Yeah.
And he was another one, like Koeman, who, when we sacked him, somehow managed to fail upwards. I mean, Koeman, since we sacked him, has managed Barcelona and the Dutch national team. Martinez went straight to the Belgium national team, who I think were number one in the world, FIFA World Rankings at the time, and had their golden generation and didn't come close to winning anything. And now he's managing Portugal.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's just
upwards,
isn't it?
He was actually appointed by Bill Kenwright, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was, because obviously Mashiri hadn't taken
it. We kind of should have known, because he won the FA Cup and went down. I mean, that just sums him up as a manager, doesn't it, in a way? It's like he achieved something, but at what cost?
Yeah, but, you know, with a poor team, a sort of yo-yo team. I was quite pleased when we got him. I don't know if he was like sort of my first choice, but I was certainly quite happy we got him in the first season. You know, was great, but as we've said, you know, that's when it all fell apart shortly after that.
He's just too much of an idealist, almost like, to the point of he just wanted to play his kind of football and that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's this idea of, but, you know, this idea of winning football and being solid and stuff. It's a bit like we're seeing now with Ange, in a way. It's this, although I'd say Ange is slightly better, but it's this idea of, oh, I'm sticking to my principles and that's it, you know?
Yeah. Regardless of whether it loses me my job or gets me to,
it's nuts, isn't it, in a way?
It is. Okay, but that takes us in
phenomenal
to top three. Then my number three is Sean Dyche, for, you know, reasons we've gone into, because he did a very good job under difficult circumstances to begin with. But I think we've sort of dissected him enough, so that takes us into our top two. So who is your second best manager of this era?
It's a tricky one, because I can make arguments for him not being, but because in a way, the more I think about Carlo, and this is probably my second one, the more I think about him, the more I think he was the wrong appointment at that point. I feel like we should have actually gone for Moyes then.
Well, we did, didn't we?
He was near to getting the job, and it's almost like Carlo was almost like a sticking plaster. I've said this before on online. Carlo was like a sticking plaster to like a huge wound, a deep wound. And because we went down this road of like buying players who were sort of older, like James Rodriguez, as good as he was, we couldn't really afford him, as it's been proved since.
Wages.
Yeah, Alan, Doucouré, although Doucouré's been probably a decent signing overall. Yeah,
he sort of made his own contribution.
He did cost a lot, and he was of a certain age, wasn't he?
Yeah, and his wages were big as well.
Yeah, so we just went down that route, and it was all sort of short-term and temporary, wasn't it? And it was all built in sand.
Yeah.
The more I think about it now, the more I think Moyes would have been better then, just to restructure the club, because we needed rebuilding, really. But to put the other side of it, for a long time, and I know it's COVID season, when he came in, he sort of solidified us. And then the COVID season, we were playing some great stuff, and we were at halfway. We were like, were we top four or something like mad like that?
Oh, we were top of the, I think, we were definitely top of the league at some point in December. I don't think we were at Christmas, but we were definitely top four. But I mean, I agree with you, by the way. Carlo's my second place. But I think
he's like, just such a good manager overall, isn't he?
Yeah, his personality, you know, his charisma and just his standing and stature, you know, it was great to have someone like him at the club, although typically, with it being Everton, we barely got to see him in the flesh because it was mostly COVID ravaged. But a lot of what's gone on in the last few years can be sort of put down to the money spent during his time there, which, you know, you could say it's not his fault because he probably wasn't fully aware of it. But you've got a certain responsibility, haven't you, as a manager?
Yeah.
And you've obviously got the owner's ear like he had with Mashiri because he was his big Hollywood appointment. You know, to be demanding someone like Rodriguez on, I think, best part of $250,000 a week wages, you know, you've got to realise where you are. You know, he was sort of quite pragmatic his first half season, how he set us up in a, like a very simple 4-4-2, and it was effective. But then, you know, to want a little bit of extra sort of guile and quality was fine. But then to be sort of demanding someone like him with that much of an injury record and the wages he was on was pretty irresponsible of him. And then the second half of the season, you know, it was just awful football, wasn't it? You know, I think it was like relegation form, wasn't it? We ended up finishing 10th.
Yeah.
Like the first half of the season was like Champions League level, and then second half was relegation level.
Yeah, the squad fell off, didn't it? Sort
of like forgive a lot and like look back with rose-tinted glasses a little bit on Carlo because of all those things about who he is and how he sort of captured everyone's sort of imagination and everything. And I do love him. I think he's great and he's a great manager and everything. And he gets probably a lot higher up than maybe he should.
Yeah.
Because of those things, you know, there was an air of positivity and everything. But I suppose you can't blame him for also hightailing it back to Madrid at the first opportunity, especially as he'd, you know, been over here during COVID and everything like that. He probably sort of wanted to get out and realise that things were going to go a bit grim. He must have realised the extent of the financial mess and, you know, fucked off at the first opportunity, which you could also argue is a bit of a shithouse thing to do, having contributed to that. But
yeah, it was such a weird season as well. And technically, he probably is the best manager we've had since Moyes. But in terms of results,
well, in terms of what he's done, he's clearly our best manager. But I don't think he could make the same argument in terms of what he did with us.
No, that's what I mean. But I suppose that COVID season is very hard to judge in a way because it was just so unusual. And also, I think the second half of the season, we had a lot of injuries, if I remember right. And I don't think James Rodriguez barely played, did he?
Yeah.
And we brought in people like Josh King, who didn't even get a game, you know? So I don't know. Again, I think a lot of it, as I said, I think there was times in Everton's history where he would have been a great manager for us, but it was just the wrong sort of, it was like a sticker plaster to a real, I don't know.
Yeah. There was an interesting theory about him, like the first part of the season when we were playing so well versus the second half, is that like during the first part, it was almost complete lockout or very, very limited fans available. So like, the usual Everton, the Goodison Boo Boys weren't affecting the players, and they could just sort of relax and play.
Possibly.
And then when the fans started to come back in, coincided with us, you know, form dipping. It's
you could look at it anyway.
How much scrutiny that would stand up to, but it's a funny idea, isn't it, that we only actually play well when there's no fans there.
You could look at it either way because our away record was really good that season as well. So, you know. Depends how you want to look at it. And what usually our away record in recent times has been really bad. So is that affected by away fans? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so well, it can work either way. And also there have been times, as we've mentioned, where the crowd, have, you know, especially Lampard season, have basically helped keep us up.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, you can argue either way. Definitely a psychological thing. He, at one point, he did say this team's got two faces, which was interesting because I think, if I remember, we were winning away games and then losing at home. That kind of mad thing.
Yeah.
On the second half of the season. But yeah, it's hard to judge these, some of these managers just because of like the disparity, the recruitment, the decisions made above them.
Hmm.
How much are those involved as well? How much is the director of football involved or not? How much is the manager, the owner meddling? How much is the chairman meddling?
I find it quite interesting that we've obviously finished on the same pair as the top two, because obviously both had Carlo as number two, so that means we both think our best manager in between David Moyes spells is Marco Silva.
Yeah, because how many seasons did he have? Just one season, wasn't it? One and a bit. But that first season was really good, and we played really good football, and he felt like he was developing some kind of identity and ethos, that, especially the run of games at home where we beat Man United. I think it was like 4-0 or something. Yeah. And we were playing really good football. I think the downfall with him was almost recruitment in a way.
It was part of it, yeah.
I mean, we lost Zuma. We lost Skarna. We basically lost the spine of the team in a way.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, spent all that summer going after Zaha and ended up with Iwobi. Iwobi isn't a bad player, don't get me wrong, because, you know, he's doing it for Silva now, but he wasn't Zaha, who could have been a difference maker, you know.
Mm. So,
and also, yeah. I think Iwobi struggled to even adapt. Iwobi was a bit of a panic, wasn't he? There's rumours that it was a Mashiri sort of signing almost, when we couldn't get Zaha, but because he knew him from Arsenal, but who knows how that happened. But
but he was left down with like when Zuma's loan wasn't made permanent. He said, you know, we needed a centre back and he'd lost Idrissa to PSG and needed a defensive mid, and we ended up getting Fabian Delph and Gbamin. You know, Gbamin was obviously just a complete fucking disaster. Barely played for us, and Fabian Delph was just, you know, after an easy fucking payday, I think, wasn't he? So we had no decent, like, defensive midfielder and lost the sort of best centre-back we had at the time, although, you know, turned out to be a cat kicker, so maybe escaped that one. But he needed the centre-back and didn't get one, needed a CDM and didn't get one. So he was let down significantly by recruitment, but he obviously did have his own failings, you know. I mean, do you remember the game against Millwall in the cup where we got knocked out at Millwall? And, you know, the defence was just appalling, you know. And I admit at the time I did probably want him sacked. And it's easy to say in sort of hindsight that he's become a really good manager. He's doing great with Fulham. But, you know, he did sort of lose it a bit. And I think broken at the end, you know, he was just one of those managers that we break and had completely run out of ideas. And a lot of people say maybe it was just a bit too soon for him to get a job like Everton. You know, it came like a year or two too soon for him into his career. But, you know, he certainly has to take responsibility and blame for his failings on the pitch and everything. But there were other things at play. And I think maybe of all the ones on the list, if you could pick one that we maybe were a bit too hasty with, you would say he was the one who maybe deserved a bit more time. But as I don't remember being against him being sacked when it happened.
No,
it's easy to say in hindsight, but he's done well. You know, he's learned a lot. Obviously, you know, you look at how Fulham are playing now, and he is clearly a good coach.
Like you said, I think he was struggling a lot, but he was quite a young manager, wasn't he, at the time? I think he'd been in two jobs.
I mean, he'd been in
Portugal.
A couple of jobs in Portugal.
Yeah, and then he's Watford manager.
Hull, you know, he kept up and they were pretty much down, and then Watford, but still.
I suppose,
you know, it's a different kind of job, isn't it? You know,
it is. The pressure at Everton is just much
it's
bigger.
It's very different, isn't it?
And I felt like he didn't seem as confident in the media, or I know that's not just one part of it, you know, being a manager or whatever, but it is a part, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of went against him in a lot of ways, when actually technically I think he was probably one of the best coaches we've had, and, you know, in this period. And Yeah, like you said, he's the one you look back on and you think, oh, maybe if he'd had a bit more time, and look what he's doing at Fulham now. But then he has been really backed at Fulham, so it's a different situation and there's not the pressure there.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he is the kind of progressive, the football he plays is really good on the eye. But it's also, like you said, there were issues with his defensive setup and stuff, and he was a bit stubborn, but that he's showing now that maybe it was a personnel issue. Like you said, Zuma was a big cog in that wheel. And also, I think losing Gomez, was it Gomez? Did Gomez have a big injury around that point? He must have done. It must have been.
He did, yeah. That's when Son.
I think we missed him as well, because he started really well under Silva, didn't he?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we just lost a lot of players and a lot of... I think his teams rely on a lot of like pace and dynamism from the wingers and the fullbacks, and then having, like you said, that defensive midfielder who would drop in. He just didn't have all those aspects. So, but when you look back on what has come since, you think to yourself, well, how many games was he fired after? I mean, I was kind of like thinking at the time maybe it was time for a change, but when I look back, I do think it was a bit hasty, that one, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we were far off safety. I don't think we were adrift or anything.
No, we weren't in the bottom three or anything, but, you know, we were sort of slipping down. But, you know, if he'd maybe just been backed rather than sacked at that time, you know, and just a little bit more investment and smarter recruitment.
Yeah.
Turned it around. But, you know, all fans snap a bit too easy, don't they, when the team's struggling. And, you know, obviously Mashiri is not afraid to pull the trigger, is he? Especially we didn't know how bad the money situation was going to get, and he, you know, was impatient for success. So he, you know, he wanted to get someone in who would bring it quickly rather than sort of playing the long game.
Yeah, you wonder how much Brands was actually allowed to be involved as well at some point, because he didn't actually want him to be sacked, did he?
No.
So and also I think a lot of the recruitment again. It's a recurring theme, but there was a lot of different voices in there sticking their oar in.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. So let's sort of tally them up and see what our aggregate best and worst is. So obviously Rafa was bottom of the table with 2 points between us.
Yeah.
Next was Koeman with 5 points.
Yeah.
And then Allardyce with 6 between us, and then Lampard with 7, and Dyche with 8, then Martinez with 11 points, which is quite high actually, but you know,
yeah,
on balance. And then
he did produce the best points all since Moyes.
Yeah, and then Carlo number 2 and Silva. Is that true? So we agreed on the top two.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is Lampard. I totally forgotten about him, so I probably would put him lower. I'd probably put him like second bottom, to be honest. So, but there you go. Couldn't change it then. You can't just go back on it once you've said it.
No, but say there's mitigations and, you know, ifs and buts with all of them.
Yeah.
And you sort of have to break it down a little bit into sort of separate spells. But I think that's probably a fair summation overall. Be interested to see what other people's is. I'll sort of, when we put this out, I'll ask for other people to put theirs and see how it compares. Okay, well, thanks for listening. We'll try not to leave it so long next time before our next episode. Until then, up the fucking toffees.
Up the toffees.